When I began my training in psychiatry in medical school many years ago, it seemed that we were always taught that things were not as they seemed. That people disguised their true concerns, their problems, who they really were. Essentially, everyone was wearing a kind of mask of their symptoms, which disguised the underlying factors of what was going on, whether biological or psychodynamic. And in order to know someone, you would have to do these long, in-depth interviews and histories, or maybe take blood tests or do things to try to peel away surface appearances to get at the underlying reality. But one day, I was sitting in a group therapy session with maybe a dozen patients. And as I looked around at each person in the room, including the other therapist who was there, I suddenly had the thought that every person was being perfectly themselves, that who they were was on display for everyone to see, that nothing was hidden. They were themselves, exactly. It's as if an actor had been hired to play their part and shown up and gotten the role down pat, nailed it. Everyone was performing who they were to a T. And it was remarkably sort of different feeling to see people that way. It's not like this was some great spiritual awakening. It's rather, it was a change in perspective to simply see everyone being perfectly who they were in that moment. You could say that they were all being perfectly themselves. And I think it's a important kind of perspective to remember when you hear people say things like, you're perfect just as you are. That can be a kind of spiritual pabulum that can seem like it makes no sense at all, or is just a kind of empty anodyne. Oh, you're just perfect just as you are. But I think what I was experiencing in that moment was a different kind of perfection. Each person was perfectly expressing their nature, their whole history. It had all come to this. I wanted to read a couple quotes that look at this in a little more depth. Sorry to say these quotes are from Hegel. I could only avoid it so long, I'm sorry. Let me see if I can find them here. Yes. The deed is the actual self. An individual cannot know what he is. until he has made himself a reality through action. Action simply translates an initially implicit being into a being that is made explicit. The deed is the actual self is a something unusually pithy for Hegel. It could sound almost like Wittgenstein. But I think what it's trying to say is that the actual self is not something that's deep inside of us and that we're struggling to express sort of very imperfectly through the limited means at our disposal, and that we struggle to understand it or show it, and we never quite get there and never really fully uncover it. That's a kind of vertical picture of the self that in a number of ways I've been trying to talk about alternatives to. Bromberg's multiple self theory is another kind of way of thinking of the self as horizontal rather than vertical, rather than thinking of it always in terms of inner and outer. One of the examples that the commentator on Hegel uses to illustrate this notion of the deed being the picture of the self, so he says that we don't start with a inner plan or inner picture that we then use the best means available to express and come up with a result which may or may not conform to what we had in mind in the first place. He gives the example of a painter. And he says, it's not, you know, the painter even might imagine that he's got in his mind's eye a picture that he wants to create. And he may or may not be able to get the paint and the brush and the canvas to do all the effects that he wants. And the picture may or may not turn out to correspond to the inner image that he started with. Hegel would say, no, the picture that is produced at the end, the actual painting, is a perfect expression of the painter's actual capability or potential, right? Who the painter is not something private that is only known inside to the painter through their mind's eye. But who the painter is created and expressed and fully revealed on the canvas, right? Painter may have a different self-image of who they are. You know, I've got an inner Rembrandt I just can't get out, right? But the painting actually shows what you're capable of and who you are, right? Your true self is not what's inside, it's what's on the canvas, right? And in that sense, what's important about it is that the true self is on public display. It's as known as perfectly to everybody in the room as it is to you, right? Who you are is your activity, is your engagement with people. It is what you do, right? Everybody sees it, knows it, understands it just as well as you do, right? I think that gives a whole different meaning to the notion of a kind of social or relational self, right? The social self is not a set of roles that the true self puts on and plays in public and takes off in private and goes back to being its true inner real me, right? The action, the deed, the behavior, the relationships, these are all the ways the true self is on constant display. Again, nothing is hidden. This is the kind of picture of things being perfect just as they are that I think is, more sophisticated and substantive sense than we get on the, Hallmark card version of, oh, everybody's just perfect. It's not, there's nothing nice about this kind of perfection. Perfect as you are doesn't have anything at all to do with the content of who you are, right? This moment is perfect just as it is. It says nothing about whether that moment is pleasant or unpleasant, the way it should be or not the way it should be. To say it's perfect just as it is more to say that everything has come together and is showing itself just as it is right now. It's all manifesting. Now, we might try to think a little bit about how do you put that together with a theory of multiple self states, where one might be on display and another seems dissociated and out of the picture? Or how do you think about it in terms of inner conflict? One way I would suggest is to think that each moment is the sum of all the vectors inside and outside that go into making who you are and what this moment is, right? So a person might look like they're still and not doing anything and feel stuck. And they might present that stuckness as the absence of anything going on. Part of what we do psychodynamically is to recognize that that stasis is the sum of vectors that pull them in conflicting and opposite directions, right? If you've got a very powerful force trying to pull you to the right, and an equally powerful force trying to pull you to the left, the sum of those two forces is you're just frozen on the spot right where you are. But that doesn't mean that nothing is happening, right? It means that your stasis is the sum of conflicting and opposite forces. And so it can be that part of what we have to learn to do is unpack all the vectors and to see what's going on is the sum of a whole constellation of complex forces. What we get, I think, though, in practice and from Hegel as well as from psychoanalysis, is to try to see that those forces are outside as well as inside, that who we are is conditioned and co-determined and co-created as a vector of all of these things that are happening. That's what interdependency means, right? It means that we are the sum of all these things that make up our context, right? There's not a real me dropped into a context and then having to deal with it. We're not separable from that context. We're not separable from the way that situation makes us who we are. Part of what we see going on in the country right now is a kind of unpacking of social and historical vectors around race. And I think that for a lot of white people in particular, they've been able to live their life as if race wasn't a powerful vector that affected them. They treated it, as water is to a fish. It's a kind of unnoticed background that didn't seem to affect them because they could move freely without resistance in the middle of it. So one of the things we look at when we talk about recognizing white privilege is to unpack previously unacknowledged vectors that shape each moment just as it is, right? We think everything is calm and standing still, but that's the sum of lots of things that have happened culturally and historically to put us in the position we are, which we think of as comfortable and at rest, right? So for us as Buddhists trying to practice with understanding the nature of the true self, we must be clear that that is not a project that is going on just inside our heads when we're sitting on a cushion. It's not a matter of looking inward to some silent, serene, or empty place where there's going to be pure awareness or deep silence or clear mind and think that that particular state of consciousness is our true self and that that's where we have to go and that's what we have to cultivate. Spend more and more time in that special inner world, right? That's not our true self. Our true self is out on the streets. It's what we're doing. That's who we are.